Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
It's great to see some of our children leading us in worship, singing about what they believe, and that's exactly what we've been talking about on these weeks, is what we believe and the importance of knowing what we believe. And the power that comes from us knowing individually what we believe, and then corporately when we come together, knowing what we believe together and the power that we have there. I am proud to be a citizen of the United States of America. And I have some proof that I am a citizen. In the archives at our house, I was able to find my birth certificate from Fulton County, Georgia. I was born in East Point, and it has my credentials there. This is a very historical document because of its age, I think. And also on display today here at the front, I have my Social Security number and card, which the government keeps track of me very well. And also, when I travel around, used this last time on our trip to Costa Rica, this year I have my passport. These are my credentials, and when I leave the country, they want to know who's leaving and putting stamps and things in here, and when I come back, they want some proof that I belong, that I'm a citizen. Again, I'm proud to be a citizen, and so I proudly show this and say, please let me back in. I want to go home. This is my home, and I am proud to be a citizen of this country as you are. But this is not the only country that I am a citizen of. We are also, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of another kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. And so in a real way, we have dual citizenship while we live on this earth. We're citizens of this country, and we're also citizens of God's kingdom. And so this morning, we're going to talk about Christian citizenship and what that looks like. Listen to this verse. It says, this is Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And so we have this dual citizenship going on, that we are citizens both of our country where we live, and we're proud of being Americans, being United States of America citizens, but we also know that our ultimate place is in heaven. And Jesus knew this when he was praying for his disciples. He said this in John chapter 17. He said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. And then he goes on as he's praying for his disciples and praying for us. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And so that also speaks of our dual citizenship. Our citizenship is ultimately in heaven in God's kingdom, but Jesus sends us out into this world so that we can be salt, and that so that we can be light in a world that is known for decay and a world that is known for darkness. And so that is what we're going to talk about this morning as we talk about what we believe. We're going to talk about this dual citizenship. And so the passage of scripture that we're going to read today is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. So open up your device or open up your Bible to Romans chapter 13. We're going to read there And as you're finding your way, we are working on developing our Acts 1:8. I think about this as I look at my passport. And this is just a little aside, free with your paid admission this morning. We are looking at some partnerships in New Orleans, regaining another partnership in New Orleans. And we're also looking for our next international trip that we're going to go on. And so to go on an international mission trip, you need one of these. And so it's time for y'all to get your credentials together and apply for a passport if you don't already have one. Get your passport that has expired renewed, because we're going to be on the move as it relates to our Acts 1:8 strategy in 2020. So if you found your place there in Romans chapter 13, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We have a very healthy group of people sitting up in the balcony. Appreciate y'all up there. We don't want to neglect you being up there in the balcony. Listen to Romans chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Listen to verse 6, kind of unpopular. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be in your house today. And Father, as we talk about this subject of being dual citizens and being citizens that would honor you by our lifestyle, we pray that you'd speak through your word. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So number one there on your message notes is that we have dual citizenship. We belong to this country. We are citizens of this town, of this county, this state, this nation. So we have citizenship right here in the United States of America. But we also have a citizen for those who have trusted Christ in the kingdom of God. And so we're talking about the difference that it makes that we have a relationship with Christ. What that citizenship, the difference that that makes in the citizenship we have here in the United States of America. And what I want you to understand next is that citizenship is our stewardship. Citizenship is our stewardship, and that's number two there on your message notes. Citizenship is our stewardship. You know, there are some different ways that people over the years have chose to respond to their citizenship as being dual citizens. One is to ignore the country, to close our eyes, to get in our ivory tower and say, we're all about the things of God. We'll let the government, we'll let the country, we'll let that do what it will. We're going to focus our attention on God. And probably one of the ways that we can see that happening is this idea of kind of hiding out in the compound or the monastery. We're going to be about our God thing, and we're going to let the rest of the culture and country do what they will. Another way that people respond, and that's not the healthy way. That's not the way of the monastery. Is not. I don't see that in Jesus' teaching. He told us to be separate, but he also told us to be salt and light. He told us to make a difference where we are, where we have influence. Another thing that we do as it relates to the culture is we like to complain about the culture. I mean, certainly there's plenty of things to complain about, and if you like having political conversations, I mean, you can find plenty to complain about. And that's one way that some people interact with the culture, is just to complain about it. Another way is to pick a fight about it. They like to argue. And so you get on different sides of political debates and just argue about it. And I wonder how much difference that really makes in the long run. But another one, and this one's going to be the one that we're going to see that Jesus leads us into, is this idea of engaging the culture and making a difference for Christ where we are. We are citizens of another country, of the kingdom of God, and that citizenship should make a difference in our local citizenship here on earth. Our biblical worldview ought to produce a distinctively Christian view of our culture and define how we relate to culture. And so what we believe, and this is how this all plays together, what we believe about the scripture, what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about the Spirit, what we believe about salvation, what we believe about the church, and what we believe about missions, that all should affect how we are citizens. You see, when we have a biblical worldview, when we hold up the truths of this word of God, this scripture, and we say, I'm going to filter everything through this biblical worldview, then that determines how we relate as Christian citizens. And listen, a couple weeks ago, we met a point of in our We Believe study of talking about some of the theological things that we believe, and we started talking about missions and the church. We started talking about what that belief does. If we really believe that God loves us and that Jesus died for us as the scripture says, and the Holy Spirit draws us to himself, then we're going to be on mission for God. If we really believe what the scripture says about the church, then we're going to be in churches together and we're going to be committed to church membership and doing life together. And see, this is, so we've gone from the what we believe to what that belief does in our life, the application of that belief. Remember, we talked about a head response, that we need to understand certain things about what we believe, and that needs to translate into a deep, passionate belief in our hearts. And from there, it goes out into our lives, and it makes a difference in what we do and how we respond to other people. And the same thing is true with this citizenship that we have in our country, is that it's part of our stewardship, that we're responsible for what we do as American believers because of the things that we believe. We're responsible to God for the impact we have on our country. And I'm so thankful that we belong to a denomination that believes something about being a Christian citizen. If you look on the back of your message notes, you'll notice one thing, and this is kind of interesting to me. The Apostles' Creed is not everything that we believe, but it is what we believe. It is the foundation of what we believe. But in these last weeks, we've gone beyond the Apostles' Creed to talk about what that looks like in our lives and in the life of our church by talking about missions and by talking about church and now by talking about Christian citizenship. And so the Baptist Faith and Message has a section about the Christian and the social order. And this is an amazing statement that I would like to read. So follow along there on the back of your message notes. All Christians are under obligation to seek and to make the will of Christ supreme in our own lives and in human society. Means and methods used for the improvement of society and the establishment of righteousness among men can be truly and permanently helpful only when they are rooted in the regeneration of an individual by the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus. And what this is talking about is the biggest difference that we can make in our society is helping introduce people to Jesus so that they can be regenerated. Going on, in the spirit of Christ, Christians should oppose racism, every form of greed, selfishness, and vice, and all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, homosexuality, and pornography. We should work to provide for the orphaned, the needy, the abused, the aged, the helpless, and the sick. We should speak on behalf of the unborn and contend for the sanctity of all human life, from conception to natural death. Every Christian should seek to bring industry, government, and society as a whole under the sway of the principles of righteousness, truth, and brotherly love. In order to promote these ends, Christians should be ready to work with all men of goodwill in any good cause, always being careful to act in the spirit of love without compromising their loyalty to Christ and his truth. Listen, some of you have never read that before, and that is an amazing statement about our responsibility and our duty to make a difference and the things that we should stand up for and those that we should partner with, people of like faith going the same direction that we are. We have a stewardship that is before us that we will be held accountable for. And so within this stewardship, we have some responsibilities for Christians. It was Daniel Webster that said this: whatever makes a man a good Christian makes him a good citizen. And doesn't that make sense? If we understand what we believe, and if we are going a good direction with Christ and we're developing our relationship with God through Christ, then we're going to be living the lives that we should live. And in living the lives that we should live, we are going to be good citizens because we live in this country and we'll be making a difference for him. This next section, I'm indebted to Adrian Rogers, the late Adrian Rogers. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. And I found in studying for this, he came up with four responsibilities that we have as Christian citizens if we're going to be faithful to the stewardship that God has given us. And so we're going to look at those one at a time. The first one is that we need to pray for government. We need to pray for those in authority over us. I've mentioned in the past that you are trusting God for what you're praying about, that prayer is an exercise of our faith. It's an expression of our faith, and it shows what's on our hearts. It shows what is resonating with us, and so we're praying about the things that are on our hearts. And listen, friends, our country should be on our heart. I mean, just open up the newspaper, just listen to the news, open up your tablet or phone and read the news. There is plenty for us to pray for in our country, and it's our responsibility that we pray for those in authority. Listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then Paul goes on to say, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. You see, when we offer these petitions and prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings for those who are in authority over us or governmental officials, it says there at the bottom of this verse that this pleases God. I mean, this is our duty, and we should have our country's interest on our hearts. I mean, our country needs a fresh move of God. There is so much there is so much disunity. There is so much choosing of sides listen, our country, and it breaks our hearts when we look into it, and what this country needs is a fresh touch from God. And who else is it other than us that should be praying and that should be leading the way? Listen, we need to do less complaining and more praying. We need to do less fighting politically and more praying. We need to be praying for our government, and so we need to pray for government. The next thing we need to do, and again, this is unpopular from this verse in Romans, is that we need to pay for government. I mean, we need to do our part, and we need to pay our taxes. Listen, when April 15th comes around, that's none of our favorite days, but it's part of our duty as a Christian citizen to do the right thing and to pay our taxes. Now, if you were to step back from your situation and we were just to have a conversation about if someone has a relationship with Christ and they're seeking to live a life that honors Christ and live a life of integrity, live a life of avoiding sin, what kind of taxpayer would that person be? Well, that person, if we just step back from it again and kind of make it impersonal. If we were just describing that person, it would be a person that would file their taxes on time. It would be a person that would file their taxes correctly, that they would pay the proper amount of income taxes, and that they would do that. And so, since we've established that that is a reasonable thing to say as it relates to paying taxes, let's make it personal again. That should be what each one of us are doing, seeking to have integrity in our relationship with the government and pay the taxes that are due and plan those taxes out so that we have the money to pay and not just look for every way to avoid paying those taxes, but make ourselves accountable to the government and pay the taxes that are due. Listen again to Romans 13, the end, chapter 6 and 7. As Paul is describing this, he says, "This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to anyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." And this reminds me of that scene from Jesus' life when these religious leaders of the time were trying to get Jesus in a corner. And they ask him this unpopular question of paying taxes. They're talking to Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, what do you think about this?" Of course, a paraphrase, a loose paraphrase. "Hey, Jesus, what do you think about paying taxes?" And they're fixing to just pounce on him because this is an unpopular question. I mean, if he says you should pay them, then, you know, it's going to be unpopular for the people that don't want to pay. And if they say don't pay, then you're going to say you're a lawbreaker. So they were trying to get him in this impossible situation. And he asked them to bring out a coin and to let him know whose image was on the coin. And it was Caesar. And so he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God's." I mean, what a slap in the face. And listen, no one's ever going to get Jesus in a logical, you know, trap like that. I mean, he's so far above all of that. But he used that illustration to say, look, if we owe taxes, we should pay. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar. And we need to do that as Christian citizens. We need to pray for government, but we also need to pay for government. And some of you are glad that we're moving on to the next thing. We need to preach to government. This is us being the keepers of the scripture and of truth in our environment. Listen to this verse from Ephesians. It says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." Listen, the source of the truth that we have is the scripture. And the scripture points us to a person and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, the biggest difference we can make in someone's life is by introducing them to Jesus. That's what the Baptist Faith and Message talked about of focusing on that regeneration, that we can help our country the most as we introduce the gospel and the truth to our country. But this passage of scripture not only talks about the source, it talks about the style that we would have as we speak the truth. Paul says, and Paul was just a genius and just an intellectual giant, he says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love." Listen, that is to be our style as we present the truth of the gospel and the truth from the scripture and relate them to what's going on in our culture. Our style should be one of love. That we speak the truth, we don't back down from speaking the truth, but we do it in a loving way. And our standard for that is Jesus. Jesus is our standard. He always spoke the truth, and it was sometimes very confrontive, but he was never yelling. He was never waving his finger. He was never doing those things, speaking the truth in a hurtful way. He was speaking the truth in love. Because when you think about it, it's a very loving thing to do, to speak the truth to someone. If someone doesn't know what the truth is, and you do, and you speak the truth to them in love, it's a very loving way. And so we have an obligation as Christian citizens to preach to the government. And what I mean by preach there is not preach sermons like this, but to proclaim the truth to the government to proclaim the truth in our town and our county and our state and our country. Proclaim the truth. And listen, there are so many truths that are out of whack in our country. Next week, this is a little preview of next week's message. We're going to talk about what the Baptist Faith and Message says about the family. And as you know, and I'll mention this again, next week that in 2006, the Supreme Court declared same-sex marriage legal. Listen, that does not hold up to what this scripture says about what marriage is. And we know that to be true. And so how do we live as Christian citizens in a environment that is going against what the Word of God says? Well, we stand up for what's right, and we speak the truth that we know is true based on the Word of God in a loving way, in a non-judgmental way, in a way that's going to persuade others to go towards the truth and to go towards the gospel and the truth of God's Word. And so that's what's on. That's what's going to be the message next week, is what the Bible says about the family. And so we preach to government, we pray for government, we pay for government, we preach to government, and the last one is that we participate in government. Listen to this verse from 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits." This is when we make a difference in our community, is when we are allowing God to set us apart for his purposes. We're avoiding the abstaining from sexual desires. God has set us apart, and we live our lives among the pagans, and we actively participate in the government so people can understand the truth and so that they can allow the truth to make a difference in our communities. And listen, one of the main ways, and we're going to talk about this a lot more, is to participate in our government. We have a representative democracy, and one of the ways that we can participate in that best is by voting. I mean, it's by being registered to vote, and when there's an opportunity to vote, that we vote. I mean, I very quickly, when I came to town, found out where our polling place is, and it's the school board building down the road. And so every time I have an opportunity, I go in there and I vote. You have to be prepared to vote. You have to know what is going on, what elections are there. You don't want to stand there and not know how to vote, so you have to look into it a little bit beforehand. And after you leave at my polling place there at the school board, they give you a mint. And I'm not opposed to having a mint, so I take my mint. But I also take my I voted sticker, that little oval sticker, and I place it on my garment for the day as a badge of honor. Right? I mean, that's what that sticker is. It says, that sticker that says, "I voted," says, "I am a citizen of this town, this county, this state, this nation, and I take my responsibility to vote seriously." And so at some time during the day, went down to the polling house and casted my vote. Listen, I've been voting a long time, and sometimes the people that I vote for win, which is awesome. And sometimes they lose, which is not so great. But listen, win or lose, it's still your responsibility to vote, to participate in what's going on. And I think maybe there may be someone in the room today that is not registered to vote. You're 18 years or older. One of the things that's been really enjoyable is to vote with my kids. You know, so it's time to vote, and Sean and I will go down to the polling place together, and he votes. I mean, he decides who he's going to vote for, and we have those conversations, and I tell him why this and that, and trying to show him that Christian worldview as it relates to voting. And so we go down there and we participate in our government by voting. And so down here on the altar, After the service, I have printed out some applications for your voter card. And that actually is another piece of identification that we can have, our voter ID card. That goes along with your driver's license so that you can go in there and vote. And listen, this next year of 2020, with a presidential election and many things going on, we're going to be bombarded, and Florida is an important state. We are going to be bombarded with political ads. We're going to, it's going to be get out the vote, and it's going to be choose this side or that side, and it's our responsibility as a Christian citizen to get out and vote and maybe even participate in the process. And so let's be real practical for a moment. How is it when we get to the voting box, when we get to the booth there and we're shading in our little bubbles about who we're voting for, how is it that you decide who to vote for? I mean, how is that? Do you ask someone else? Do you just vote for the same person your spouse is voting for? Which actually doesn't work for Carol and I. Sometimes we cancel out each other's vote, which is fine. I'm always on the right side of that, but it's always good. I mean, that's up for debate. How is it that we decide who to vote for? Well, listen, it's based on what we believe, isn't it? We've been talking about all of these things that we believe, and we've been talking about having a biblical worldview. And if we're understanding and believing the right things about the scripture, about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the church, about the mission of the church, about salvation, if we're believing those things properly and we're getting a good diet of God's word into our life, then how we vote just comes out of that. It comes out of a biblical worldview. You don't need a pastor or anyone else to tell you who to vote for. It should become evident in your own life as you say, God, I want to vote for your person. God, I want to vote, and I want this to be part of my Christian citizenship for you. I have a stewardship for my citizenship. And so as I cast my vote, I want that to be a vote that honors God. And you see, sometimes we compartmentalize things and we separate who we vote for from what we believe to be true as displayed to us in the scripture. Listen, that's a faulty idea of how to go about things. What we believe and the lives that we have and the things that we believe, it comes out in the things that we do and how we live our life. And voting is one of those things. So listen, it's a matter of connecting with God and being a good Christian citizen and voting for the person that would honor God to the best of your ability. Listen, they're not all Christians. And sometimes it's voting for the least of two bad choices. I mean, I get all of that, but it's still our responsibility to vote. And so we pray for government. We pray for the things that are on our heart. We pay for government. We're faithful to having integrity in our business dealings with our government. We preach, we proclaim the truth of God's word any way that we can to the government. And we also participate in government mainly through getting out and voting. And so, that is our Christian citizenship. God has blessed each one of us with being a citizen of the United States of America. But more importantly, we're citizens of the kingdom of God for everyone that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And our relationship with Jesus should directly influence our relationship with our country. And we don't need to hide. We don't need to ignore. We don't need to fight. We don't need to complain. We need to get in and we need to make a difference. And the verse that comes to my mind as we've talked about this, and a verse that comes to my mind often when I think about our country, is this 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what 2 Chronicles 7:14 does is it talks about the children of God's responsibility for the nation that they live within. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their land forgive their sin, and heal their land. Listen, that's not a scripture that is for the unbeliever in Christ. The solution to what ails our country is not for unbelievers to start praying some prayer. The solution to what ails us is my people, God says, humbling themselves, their country being on their heart, humbling themselves and praying, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways, not the wicked ways of the country, but our wicked ways. And it says, then I'll hear from heaven. And so that's what we're going to do during our invitation time. We're going to spend some time, and I would challenge you to pray for our great country and to pray for your responsibility as a Christian citizenship to make the biggest difference for Christ here as salt and light in this, the greatest country that's ever been. And so would you please stand? We're going to have these moments of invitation. This is also an opportunity for you to do business with God. If you desire church membership, or you want to be baptized, or you have another spiritual decision to make, I'm down here at the front. We'd be glad to welcome you in whatever decision you're making. This is God's invitation time. This is a time, this is really the application part of the message. The beginning of the application is responding to God based on what he said to us through the music and through the message and through these scriptures. And so let's take some time and focus our attention on what God would have for us in these moments. So let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. And Father, thank you for our citizenship in heaven because of your son, Jesus. If there's someone in this room that doesn't know you, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would become a citizen of another country. And Father, I pray also for us as citizens of the United States of America that we would take our part and take our role to make a difference for you in this country that we love. So Father, we thank you and we love you and pray that you would guide us during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.